are in the midst of a pretty heated general election battle, aren't you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you figure by only winning by 197 votes last time and knocking out a three-term incumbent and then also flipping the House to Republican, the Democrats weren't real happy. And they've come after me pretty hard, everything from making sure that there was a third-party candidate to making sure that the maps went their way to really saying whatever they want to say about me in their flyers.
Well, I've seen some of those flyers, and I got to tell you, they are appalling, some of the things they have tried to, you know, not so subtly accuse you of. I mean, give me a break. I mean, but
yeah, there's one going out now saying I'm against in vitro fertilization. Really? I've never even been asked.
And you make it sound like that matters somehow.
You know, somebody wants to get pregnant and they go to their doctor and say, does this work? That's their business, not mine.
Oh, God. So, Representative, how is the race going? Do you have any internals? I mean, what's it looking like? Do you know?
You know, there are polls out there, but I don't want to know what they are, to be honest with you. We've knocked on a little over 29,000 doors. The best poll I had was when we did our yard sign list. When we're out walking, we ask people if they want a yard sign. If they say yes, we simply take their first name and their address, and then my campaign guys go through and match those with voter rolls. Well, 25% of the people that asked for my yard signs were registered active Democrats.
Really?
Wow.
Now, that doesn't mean that that's 25% of the district. That was of a couple hundred people. So that amazed me. That surprised me. The name recognition I've got in the district, the things that, you know, we're out waving signs, you know, for every one thumbs down or single finger salute, we get, you know, 5 to 10 people honking and waving and thumbs up. So it's hard to tell. It's going to be close. I think we're going to pull it out. But, you know, when you spend 2 years getting yelled at by the Republicans and getting yelled at by you and Jason and getting yelled at by the Democrats, you got to be doing something right.
Well, you know, look, we're only Jason and I only yell at you when you vote the wrong way. I mean, that's it, you know. And so if you would vote the right way, we'd leave you alone.
Oh, you didn't yell at me that much. You were only a couple times. But the point being,
why
is
didn't I know you were
like
going to bring
a
that
good
up?
Job representing the district, not just my own interests. And, you know, and sometimes some of those votes were not so easy for me. And you know of that. And
well, you know, you're absolutely right. And we're in a situation now where we have got to mobilize everyone. We've got to make sure that we hold the House of Representatives here in the state of Colorado. Mm-hmm. And we've got to make very sure that we bring the Senate back. Because if we don't, you know, we're going to see all this garbage legislation and you know,
four more years of Hickenlooper.
Well, yeah. And I mean, you know, so far he's only had to take a stand once. And he decided to expend all his political capital on civil unions. I mean, you know, how about balancing a budget? How about, you know, cutting some spending? How about something real that really affects? And not to say that civil unions don't affect people. That's, please don't misunderstand. Well, but when you've got issues like PARA out there that are going to bankrupt the state of Colorado, and you're really, I mean, where's your priority here?
Yeah, you know, we got 46% of the budget's education. You know, 24 or 25% of it now is Medicaid. I mean, that's frightening in itself. And then 20% or so of it in judiciary. We got 9% of the budget we got to deal with, and we're going to make a stand on civil unions instead of let's figure out what we're going to do with our state.
Yeah, and I mean, financially, both the state of Colorado, pretty much every county, most cities are in financial distress. And don't even get me started on the federal government. And those are the things that will change everyone's way of life. I mean, you'll get free birth control, but you won't have a job. You know, you'll be able to get married, but you won't have a job.
But you can't. But you can keep from having a baby.
That's right. You won't be able to eat either. You won't be able to feed your family, but you can marry whoever you want. I mean,
exactly. Really?
And that's why I get so frustrated with those issues. But
it's absolutely. I mean, you know, we've got a governor that, and this is the first time I've ever seen this, has actually done a flyer with my opponent.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah. He spoke out in my, he took a position in my race.
Now, are you having some outside interests taking a look at your race? Are they spending money against you?
Oh, my God. There's so much money being spent in this race. It's frightening. I have no idea the amount, but I mean, the amount of flyers I'm seeing going around, the robocalls I'm hearing about, there's a lot of money being spent in this race. There's a lot of it being spent against me as well. So.
Well, I guess they've targeted you as somebody they think they can be, right?
Well, yeah, even Fight Back Colorado named me as their number one target because civil unions didn't pass. Well, I didn't even vote on it. They've gone out. They're going after me and Jay Paul and Cindy Acree because we are the three seats that they were able to gerrymander enough with the maps to make it easier to try and flip. This has nothing to do with any real issues. This is simply about the Democrats getting their way and not turning the state back over, and let's do everything that feels good instead of doing what's right for the state. I was speaking to some kids at high school yesterday, and I told them, I said, you know what, if I wanted, you know, there's no such thing as a hard, you know, a difficult vote. Everyone says, oh, I can make the hard decisions, the difficult votes. The only difficult vote is the one that you have to say, you know, I know the right vote is this, but I've got to vote the other way because.
You know, that's a very good point. That's a very good point. And if you, I always believe that if you stick to your principles, you're going to be able to tell, and sometimes not right off the bat, because, I mean, let's face it, some of the legislation that comes down is just, it's brain dead. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, I'll bring up 64, not that I want to talk about it again, but I mean, it's a very uncomfortable way it's written. I mean, it's got some real issues in just the way it's written.
Well, somebody said that to me today, and I said, look, it's written like statute, not like an amendment.
Right, exactly.
It will bind the hands of the legislature to do the regulations or create the regulations that need to be created for it.
And then there's a lot, my favorite legislation is the legislation that actually tries to hide what it's really trying to do.
And 65?
That's what I was thinking too.
Exactly.
What a joke.
Yeah. And so, yeah, exactly. And so you have to really break it down. And, you know, you guys get hit with what, 500 bills a year, if not more?
600 to 800, depending on the year.
Yeah. And so I'm sure you've read them all, right?
No. No. And somebody, you know, a good friend of ours, Susan Kochevar, used to say that, but she came down and watched one day. She goes, how could you possibly read them all? You know, I read every one of mine, and I know it backwards and forwards, and I can argue every point on it.
Well, yeah.
I read everything and know it well that comes to my committee. And then those that I take an interest in.
And represent.
I have to trust my cohorts, my associates down there, that they've done the same thing in their committee, so I can ask them earnestly, tell me what's wrong or what's right with this bill.
That's exactly right. And you know
that
I,
what you have to do.
You know that I've spent time down there as well, and I've testified in front of committees, and I've seen the process, and it is extremely difficult. But even sometimes when you read the synopsis that they put forward, especially if it's written by lobbyists, has absolutely nothing to do with the bill you're actually voting on.
The hardest bill I had to read was a half a page bill. It was the hardest bill to read because it said in this, but not in this section. And to give you a section, this, and this section, and you know, you had to constantly flip back between 15 statute books, and it was actually should have been a bill that was about 70 pages long.
Right.
Because they were changing stuff in all those different sections. But you're right. It is very difficult. But the long and short of it is we're down there doing a job. And in the past 2 years, we've stopped the bleeding in this state.
Yes, you have.
And, you know, a couple drops got through. It's not terrible. It could have been much worse. And we need to do something to change that this next year. We need to get that Senate. We need to get Lang Sias in there. We need to get Dave Kerber in there. And there's a couple others, Ken Summers over and Andy Kerr. We need Ken Summers in there. So, you know, those three seats make a difference in the Senate.
Absolutely, they do.
And if we can pick up the new one in the South, that's four. That means we have a majority.
And, Representative, we've been talking a lot about getting out the vote, the boots on the ground. I mean, let's face it, for the most part, the debates are over. The campaigns are over. I mean, yeah, there's still mailers going out. Yeah, there's still, you know, robocalls, as you had mentioned. But the biggest push we need to focus on right now is getting people to the polls, getting their absentee ballots in, getting their early voting done, getting people to the polls and getting a huge Republican turnout.
And that's funny because that's what we were just concentrating. I'm pulling lists right now of people who are newly registered voters in the district that have asked for mail-in ballots and haven't returned them yet. And so we're going to start calling those tomorrow night and tomorrow during the day and leaving messages for these people and making sure they get their things. Because as I know well, every vote counts.
Absolutely, it does. And we have got to hold the House. We have got to get the Senate. I mean, that's what it boils down to. I mean, we are in an all-out prize fight. We are, and we have
we
to win.
We absolutely are.
Yeah, and we have to win. There is no second chance after this. There is no tomorrow after this.
Yeah. I'm afraid that if we don't take the presidency, it is actually, I'm not afraid. I know. If we do not take the presidency, it is going to be up to every state's legislature to keep this country together.
Yes, you're absolutely right. And if we,
it's going to be up to those individual states.
If we don't take Colorado and if we get Dems back in control of the governor's office and both sides of the assembly,
it's over.
It's over. I mean, all we have to do is look at PARA and just stupid things like that. Representative Ramirez, how can our listeners help you? What's your website? How do they get involved?
The website is www.ramirez, R-A-M-I-R-E-Z, 4-F-O-R, Colorado.com. I still need some money coming in. I just spent $50,000 on mailers. We've got a couple more telephone town halls I'm planning on doing. We've got, get out to vote efforts. So it is going to take some more money. So if anybody can spare a couple bucks here and there, that'd be great. If anybody listening, as we go into the next election cycle, which actually starts in January, not just my race, but everyone, pick four people that are going to be running again and send them $10.
Absolutely.
Every Republican.
Absolutely.
Or every conservative, or every person you want to vote for, send them $10. Because in my district, that would have added up to $150,000 or close to $160,000 I would have had.
There you have it. All right, Representative Ramirez, keep up the good work. We'll be right back after this.
And we're back, Grassroots Radio Colorado. This is Stacey Petty sitting in for Jason Worley. Ken Clark is here, as most often.
As always.
Yeah, rarely are you gone.
Unless I'm doing a thing with Nightline or,
Freedom Works.
Freedom Works, yeah, I've been doing a lot for those guys, so we're having a lot of fun. Real fast, let's get an update from the Obama rally today and the tens of people that were actually there. Jen, welcome to Grassroots Radio.